वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः। हरे कृष्ण। So I'm very happy and grateful to be back after a long time. Must have been last time was November or something I came, I think. It must have been at least 6-7 months since I came. Dharwad is definitely one of the places which I really look forward to come and spend time with devotees. One reason is because of the eagerness of the devotees, that's for sure. And also because the size is small, you know, always, you know, for a teaching setup or BBVP setup, ideally, you know, 10-12 devotees is ideal size, maximum 20. More than that, it's, you know, you can't have personal interactions and discussions, and it's not very convenient. So, ideal size, ideal devotees, so it's very inspiring to come and spend time. So, happy and grateful that I again got an opportunity to come and spend time with all of you. So actually over a period of time, initially I used to get tensed when beginning days when Radhesham Prabhu asked us to travel around and teach. It used to be, you know, we used to spend time preparing and it used to be a little tense. But over a period of time, you know, when you travel to places, especially, you know, those who have these 4-5 days Vidyapeeth setup, devotees are eagerly looking forward to those 4 days generally. So that is, the receptivity is really good, and so there is a lot of gratitude when they receive. So, and from the speaker's point of view, if someone is like eagerly accepting and looking forward to what the service that he has to offer, then that generates a lot of gratitude. So it's very mutual, and when there is mutual gratitude and appreciation in an association, that generates very good relationships, friendships. So over a period of time, when I travel, you know, sharing Bhagavatam is definitely one of the reasons, but more exciting reason for me is to meet and reconnect with friends who are there at different places, you know, and spend time with them. So that's a very, that's something that I really look forward to. So I'm very happy that I'm back here to spend some time with you sharing Srimad Bhagavatam. And today we will be starting the teachings of Lord Kapila. So I had a very interesting introduction to Kapila Dev in Krishna consciousness. So, like, when I came to join the ashram, I didn't have any, in one sense, any training as such. Now, I used to live with devotees when I was in the United States. It was like a base, you can say, all devotees used to stay together. But there was no formal training as such, and we were quite busy with our studies and research, so there was not much time to read. So I had not studied much books. So when I came to BT, like what you have as PDC, I didn't have much experience reading. So Gaurang Prabhu used to take weekly once or twice our classes. So one day he was sharing something and he quoted a verse from teachings of Lord Kapila. So he said, Kapil Dev said, and I had never heard of Kapil Dev. I knew only one Kapil Dev, you know, the cricket player. So I very sincerely thought that Prabhuji was trying to crack a joke. So I laughed out loud. And everyone became silent. The whole class became silent. And everyone started looking at me. And Gaurang Prabhu asked, what happened? I thought these people didn't get the joke. So I said, you said Kapil Dev said. Then Gaurang Prabhu understood. Then he said, oh, this is Bhagavatam's Kapil Dev, he said. You know, he had a very pitiful look on his face. It was like a very embarrassing introduction to Kapila Dev, Bhagavatam's Kapila Dev. This was like 2008. So, yeah, 2008. Somehow, Krishna's mercy, that I've been teaching this section for the last few years. So, very interesting section of Srimad Bhagavatam. In fact, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sahaja Thakur spoke, he would many times mention to his Gaudiya Math Brahmacharis that there are few sections of Bhagavatam which you must be very thorough with. So one section is of course Uddhava Gita, and the other section he used to tell his teachings of Lord Kapila. So he said that all Gaudiya Math Brahmacharis should be very thorough with these sections, because these are the sections which establish the Siddhanta in a very systematic way. So practically, if you see our Acharya's commentaries to Bhagavatam or Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu Bhagavad Gita, practically 80% of the quotes that they quote to establish Siddhanta are either mostly from Uddhava Gita or sometimes from teachings of Lord Kapila. And whenever to establish rasa, they used to quote from 10th canto. So, in that way, these sections lay a very solid foundation for our basic philosophical understanding of Krishna consciousness. So, in that way, you know, this is like very important section of Srimad Bhagavatam. And Srila Prabhupada, must have been in 1973-74, he was giving a series of lectures in Juhu, Bombay. So he spoke on teachings of Lord Kapila, which has been compiled into a book, if you know, teachings of Lord Kapila. It's a lecture transcription only, actually. And that is based on this 25th chapter. And I don't think he even spoke the whole of 25th chapter. Maybe half the chapter he spoke on. So that has been compiled into this book, Teachings of Lord Kapila. And His Holiness Satswarup Das Goswami Maharaj has written a foreword to this book. We will just read some sections on of that foreword to understand what this Sankhya is. Because we might think that Sankhya is probably meant for the Jnanis, not for devotees. But it's not exactly like that. Kapila Dev's Sankhya is different from, as Prabhupada says, that it was also an imposter Kapila who spoke only on, you know, the enumeration of the elements, that he elaborated on that, but he left the soul, super soul, and he didn't elaborate on that. So it was like a completely materialistic Sankhya, as Prabhupada would say. So Srila Satswarup Das Goswami Maharaj, he says, Sankhya deals with the elemental categories or principles of the physical universe. Sankhya is what the Western scholars generally refer to as metaphysics. So metaphysics means that which is study of something which is subtle, not so gross. What they have in mind is intelligence, mind, and soul. Probably they don't think so much about, but that is what the Western philosophers call as metaphysics. The term Sankhya generally means to count, as in Sankhya Purvaka Nama Gananativi Kalavasani Kratav. Where does it come? Shad Goswami Ashtakam. They used to keep a very scrutinizing count on how much they are performing. So this name is used because Sankhya philosophy enumerates principles of cosmic evolution by rational analysis, by analyzing the various elements, what is mind, what is intelligence, what is the false ego, what is chitta. So basically Kapiladev describes it functionally. You understand what is the function of each of these elements. Because we may say that I am not this body, I am the soul, then we must know perfectly what are the functions of the soul, what are the functions of body, what are the functions of the subtle elements of the body. We may not necessarily, at least theoretically, identify with the gross body, but there is a very good chance that we may theoretically identify with the subtle body. So unless we know very clearly what are the functions of each element and how the soul is functionally different from each of these elements, our statement that I am not this body, I am this soul, can at the most be, you can say, sentimental or theoretical. So therefore, and that is one very small aspect of Sankhya that Kapiladeva is going to speak about. Kapiladeva's Sankhya is eight chapters he teaches, of which enumeration of these elements is just one chapter. That which is the aspect of the atheistic Sankhya just takes this one chapter and elaborates it in great detail. But our Kapiladev describes only one chapter, and that too to establish the superiority of bhakti only. So this Sankhya that we are going to read now, which will be the next chapter, 26th chapter, this aspect of Sankhya, this is a very important aspect of the Sambandha Jnana of our devotees. But when you take the Jnana Yogis, it is very much a part of their Abhideya. They very much meditate on these aspects, and that's a very important part of their Abhideya. But we don't necessarily accept it as an Abhideya. But it's a very integral part of our Sambandha Jnana. While we understand that we are not this body, we are the spirit soul, but practically our whole Abhideya revolves around our meditation that we are not just the spirit soul, but we are servant of the servant of Krishna. Gopi Bhartur Padakamalayor Dasa Dasa Anudas. So what acts as a very integral part of a Jnana Yogi's meditation or Abhideya is at least a very important part of our Sambandha Jnana. That is not Mayavad. To understand the qualitative oneness of the living entity with the Supreme Lord is very important, actually, at least in the early stage of our Krishna consciousness. But we don't constantly meditate on that, because that sort of weakens our desire to serve the Lord. If we say, I am qualitatively non-different from the Lord, I am not this body, I am not the subtle body also, I am the soul, soul is spiritual, and so is the Supreme Lord. So there is no qualitative one, there is no qualitative difference between the Supreme Lord and the soul. Then at one point we may start thinking, if there is no qualitative difference, then why should I be the servant and he be the master receiving all the service? So therefore, while we understand these basic truths, our meditation is on our relationship of servitude towards the Supreme Lord. So with that understanding, we definitely endeavor to understand the basic philosophical truths, sambandha jnana. But when it comes to abhideya, within that sambandha jnana, those very anukul aspects of those sambandha jnana, which really nourishes our eternal role as the servant of the Supreme Lord, we meditate on that while performing our abhideya. And that constitutes a very important aspect of Kapiladeva's teachings also. So this Sankhya is just one chapter. The rest of the chapters very much establish the supremacy of bhakti, talk about the abhideya of bhakti, actual practice of devotional service. That constitutes a very major part of what Kapiladeva teaches. Okay. So then he says, the etymological meaning of the word Sankhya is that which explains very lucidly by analysis of material elements. Samyak kyayate iti Sankhya. Sankhya means that which very clearly and lucidly explains. Samyak kyayate means very clear explanation. Very clear explanation of all these elements. And of course the aspects of various kinds of yogas and establishing the superiority of bhakti yoga, all of that the Kapiladeva does in a very systematic way. You see glorifications of devotional service here and there in Srimad Bhagavatam, but Kapiladeva, Krishna and Uddhava Gita, these are the sections where these topics have been very systematized and systematically presented, so that you want everything at one place in a very systematic way, you get it in these sections. That is why Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur emphasized that his preachers should know these aspects very well. Otherwise someone may say that, why do you practice bhakti yoga, why not ashtanga yoga? So or someone may ask you, you know, how is bhakti yoga superior to the asampragyata samadhi of the ashtanga yoga? You say, what? So that is something at least we should know about what they aspire and think as their goal. So in that sense he talks about ashtanga yoga, about jnana yoga, and very systematically, so that the devotees are convinced that what we are practicing is actually the best path. So we need not go into detail understanding the jnana yoga, ashtanga yoga, etc. But at least what Kapiladeva explains in Bhagavatam, that a devotee needs to understand. And that is sufficient actually to, you know, when you encounter a ashtanga yogi or a jnana yogi, to inspire him in bhakti, at least this much basic knowledge about the other paths is needed. So therefore that's what Kapiladeva is going to speak about. And also if you see, you know, Parikshit Maharaj, Shukadeva Goswami spoke Bhagavatam to Parikshit Maharaj. But apart from Parikshit Maharaj, so many other practitioners were there. And the list of their names is given in Srimad Bhagavatam itself, and Prabhupada in his purport describes about many of these personalities, what is their background and all that. They don't necessarily come from a pure devotional background. So some of them were jnana yogis, some were ashtanga yogis, some were just plain materialists. They all had assembled there. So in order to inspire those people also, you need to give something in which interests them currently. You can't just give them something that would interest them in future. That would become the ninth offense, to instruct a faithless person about the glories of the holy name. So you have to, in order to first attract them, you have to give them something in which they are currently interested. So, therefore, preaching means to understand the people's current interests, current qualification, and create some engagement according to their current qualification, and then also eventually give them an opportunity to raise their qualification. You see this happening in Bhagavatam time and again. Either when Narada Muni is preaching to Prachina Barishad, or Vidura preaching to Dhritarashtra, or many cases. Or Ambarish Maharaj inspiring his citizens. So you see that Ambarish Maharaj very nicely performed his prescribed duties to Varnashram duties to set the right example for the citizens, so that they should practice their Varnashram duties nicely, because that was their qualification. But at the same time, he had created lot of avenues for Krishna Katha and Krishna Kirtan everywhere in his kingdom, so that people can at the end of the day come together and get an opportunity to get some sadhu sangha and slowly raise their qualification from karma nishta to bhakti nishta. Like our Adi Bhagavan Prabhu was sharing with me that immediately after this Vidyapeeth, for 1 month he is going to take students to Gokuldam, and they would have various activities including some traditional Vedic games and things like that. Ultimately, our goal is not to inspire them to become expert Vedic games champions. Ultimately, to bring them to Krishna consciousness only. But you understand that at this age, there is a natural desire to engage in some sports and such activities. So you give them an opportunity. If you say that, you know, there will be 12 hours of non-stop katha, then no one may come. So you have to give them an opportunity to engage according to their current interest, and in doing that you make them more favorable to listen to what you actually have to give. And those are expert preachers. You know, when I was hearing what he was telling, you know, I was just thinking, this is good. You know, you invite them, attract them, to give them some attraction for what they are currently interested in, but slowly raise their interest. So Kapila Dev does that. So there will be so many Ashtanga Yogis, and by his crystal clear presentation of Ashtanga Yoga, they would understand, oh, this person knows what he is talking about. He knows what he is talking about. So, and that too, what Kapila Dev does, if you see, is he gives a very neutral presentation. After Kapila Dev, for example, I'll give you one example. There are many examples in the TLK we will see in the future. Kapila Dev describes about the path of Jnana Yoga. And he concludes the chapter by telling that this Jnana Yoga will deliver, will give liberation. But Mother Devahuti, after hearing this description, she says, I don't think so. So this path that you have given, I don't think it is very easy to, by practice of this path, I don't think it's very easy to attain liberation. And Kapila Dev could have said, oh, you are so great, you have understood. Yes, this path does not work. But he doesn't say that. He speaks one more chapter describing, let me clarify how you should actually practice this path. And he gives more details about Jnana Yoga. And he says, oh, if you practice Jnana Yoga in this way, definitely this Jnana Yoga will give you liberation, he says. Even though in conclusion, he establishes Bhakti Yoga as the undisputed path to attain liberation, but he doesn't, he gives a very neutral presentation about Ashtanga Yoga and Jnana Yoga also. So when people see such a neutral presentation, so it attracts people. Oh, he is not like biased. When people see that, you know, there is, when people sense some bias in our presentation, so then they get little bit turned off. So these sections of Kapila Dev describing Jnana Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga are very simple, very very short chapter, not very elaborate. And that's all. One chapter, he completes one full path. Ashtanga Yoga or Jnana Yoga. And he gives a very non-biased presentation. Even though in conclusion, he establishes the superiority of bhakti very clearly. That is the ultimate recommendation. But in recommending, in speaking about Jnana Yoga and Ashtanga Yoga, he gives a very neutral presentation. Yes, it works, he says. But what it gives, that I will clarify. It can give you up till impersonal liberation. More than that, if you want, you have to come to bhakti. That he clarifies. But he doesn't say that, no, these practices cannot even give you impersonal liberation, nothing it can give you, only bhakti, that he does not say. So it is a very interesting, you know, very neutral presentation. And in doing that, anyone who reads this neutral presentation, in the end will get attracted to bhakti yoga only. This is one preaching technique. So, further, he says, philosophically this term is used because the Sankhya system expounds analytical knowledge that enables one to distinguish between matter and spirit. So we have to really understand what matter is, what spirit is. So matter means it's not homogeneously matter. There is a lot of classifications in terms of subtle, gross, and even within gross there are bhumi, rapo, analo, vayu, kham. Like that. But ultimately this understanding culminates in bhakti, devotion for and service to the Supreme Lord. Sankhya is ultimately meant for that. Actually this Sankhya lays the foundation for bhakti, philosophical foundation for bhakti, for practice of bhakti. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Sankhya yoga pritak bala pravadanti na pandita, ekam api astita samyak ubhayor vindate phalam. He says that only the ignorant speak of devotional service as being different from the analytical study of the material world. You remember Bhagavad Gita 5.4. So he says that only the ignorant speak of that Sankhya to be different from devotional service. But actually, Panditaha, the actual learned person, they say, that ekamapi astita samyak ubayor vindate phalam, that he who applies himself well to one of these paths achieves the results of both, because the results of both is same. Attaining the lotus feet of the Lord. That is the ultimate purpose of Sankhya. Yat Sankhyaihi prapyate sthanam tadyogairapi gamyate. Ekam Sankhyam cha yogam cha yappashyati sapashyati. He says that yat Sankhyaihi prapyate sthanam, that position that which one can attain by practice of Sankhya, tad yogairapi gamyate, the same thing can be achieved by devotional service also. Because both are in essence same path. One leading to the other. Yap pashyati ekam Sankhyam cha yogam cha. So therefore one who sees Sankhya and devotional service to be non-different, sa pashyati. He actually sees. So, therefore, as devotees, we should not take this as some mundane mundane speculation, some dry thing which is not useful for nourishing our bhakti sentiments towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is not like that. Because not a single syllable of Bhagavatam deviates from the purpose of generating the favorable emotions towards the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. Jiva Goswami establishes it very clearly that not a single syllable of Bhagavatam deviates from that purpose. We may not necessarily understand that how this will actually help me in developing some attraction towards the Supreme Lord. We may not necessarily understand, but Shukadeva Goswami understands. Kapiladeva understands. Just like the doctor understands how exactly this medicine is going to help him. The patient may not necessarily understand. Like I am having a headache, you are asking me to apply this balm somewhere else, or you are someone acupuncture or acupressure, they may say, let me press here, it will help your digestion. So you may say, "Arey, my digestion happens here. What will happen if I press here?" A doctor will say, "You will not understand." But he understands. And he actually helps. So the same way, these subject matters also, when we apply ourselves nicely, we may not make sense to us how hearing this subject matter will actually help me develop pure devotional service. But actually we have to have trust and faith in our acharyas, in Shukadeva Goswami, who has narrated this to Parikshit Maharaj, and in Kapiladeva, who has narrated it to Devahuti, and in Prabhupada, who has commented on it, and in the other acharyas also. We have to have trust. So therefore Prabhupada always insisted, go systematically. Just like you, while you take darshan of the form of the Lord, you go from the lotus feet to the lotus face of the Lord. Similarly, when you approach Srimad Bhagavatam also, you approach systematically, not skipping anything. You start from 1.1.1 and go to the last verse of 12th canto. Like that. So, that's like a brief introduction to this subject matter that we are going to discuss over our next two visits, this visit and the next visit. And if something is left over, maybe it will spill over to the next visit. So that's like a brief introduction. If you have any comments, discussion, before we move on to the... Yeah, that's so. This either it refers to yoga, or it could refer to karma yoga also. But basically, wherever karma yoga comes, Prabhupada discusses it as devotional service only. This is Prabhupada's translation. Prabhupada takes it as devotional service. See, Sankhya acts as the foundation for both karma yoga and nishkama karma yoga and bhakti yoga both. So when you take yoga to mean nishkama karma yoga, as Baldev Devotion Vishnu Jagadak will take, or if you take it as yoga to mean bhakti yoga, as Prabhupada here is taking, both are correct. Not necessarily. We are going to see whatever comes within the category of adhyatmika yoga. Like for example, sakama karma yoga in the strictest sense is not adhyatmika yoga, because there is no actual differentiation of soul from body. Because if you start making that differentiation, immediately the person will start realizing that my desires are futile. But he is not ready to hear it. So you tell, okay, what do you want? Worship the Supreme God. Take it. No problem. So sakama karma yoga is not, therefore does not come within the category of adhyatmika yoga. We will see it, you know, very soon. Yeah, very much. Yeah. The other spiritual parts, yeah, this lays a very, this is a foundation. The purpose of sakama is eventually to elevate that person to nishkama. So in one sense, yes, it does. Like for example, the Vedic sports that they are going to play in Gokuldam, in one sense it's not one of the 64 limbs of devotional service, but Adi Bhagavan Prabhu knows ultimately what is the goal. They may not know now, they will realize it later. And they themselves will bring new students and they will train them like that in Gokuldam in future. So the practitioner of sakama karma does not know that it is a rung in the ladder of leading to the lotus feet of the Lord. But once he comes to nishkama karma yoga and bhakti yoga eventually, then he looks back and he says, oh, now I understand. It's very scientific. Like that. Anything else? Okay, so even if you remember the 24th chapter, I don't know when did you do 24th chapter? 7-8 months, by last time when I was here we did. Or someone else did it for you. Radhika Valla Prabhu did it for you. Huh? February, okay. So that's not, okay, that's just 2-3 months back. So, January, okay. So Kapiladev Kardam Muni speaks to Kapiladev. He says, Sviyam Vakyam Ritam Kartum Avatir Nosi Me Grihe Shikirshur Bhagavan Jnanam Bhaktanam Manavardana. So he says that, my dear Lord, Jnanam Chikirshur, desiring to give a method of knowledge, Bhaktanam Manavardana, but in giving that knowledge, what does Kapiladev do? Who he increases the honor of the devotees. This is little strange. If by this knowledge he was going to increase the honor of the devotees, then he should say Bhakti Chikirshur. He is telling Jnanam Chikirshur. So he has come to increase the honor of the devotees. So that sort of indicates the nature of knowledge that Kapiladeva has come to give. As Krishna says the 9th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Jnanam paramaguhyam me yad vijnana samanvitam sarahas. Sorry, what is that? Idam tute guhyatamam prabakshami anasoyave Jnanam vijnana sahitam yadgyatva mokshase ashubhat. So there, what is that jnana that he is talking about? Pure devotional service. So how do you call, then why are you calling it jnanam? You should call it bhakti. He says, see, etymologically jnanam means that which reveals something. So bhakti reveals the Supreme Lord. Therefore bhakti is also jnanam. So therefore, even though here he says jnanam chikirshur, but bhaktanam manavardana, he increases the honor of the devotees by giving this knowledge. So therefore, in conclusively, this knowledge that Kapiladeva is speaking is actually devotional service only. And Prabhupada commenting on this verse, he says, by distributing Sankhya, he would increase the honor of the devotees. Therefore, Sankhya philosophy is not dry mental speculation. Sankhya philosophy means devotional service. How could the honor of the devotees be increased unless Sankhya were meant for devotional service? Devotees are not interested in speculative knowledge. Therefore, the Sankhya enunciated by Kapila Muni is meant to establish one firmly in devotional service. So this we have to be very clear. Even though in between he will be talking about the other path, but conclusively it will culminate in bhakti. If you remember in the second canto while we were discussing, I gave this example. That if you have to go to Dharwad railway station from here, even though it is in which direction? East, west, north, south, which direction is it? The southern direction. But sitting from here, can you start walking in the southern direction and reach the railway station? You will reach a better destination, of course. You will reach the lotus feet of Shri Radha Nil Madhav, start walking. But you will not reach the railway station, for sure. For that you will have to get out, for which you have to start with walking in the northern direction, which is exactly opposite. Then you take east, then west, then south, then finally you reach the railway station. So, a very naive, simple person may think, Hari, you said that the railway station is in the southern direction. Now you are going in the northern direction, how is it possible? So one may think like that. But one who knows the path, like our Bhagavat Shravan Prabhu, a wonderful name that Maharaj has given him. So he picked me up. So I may say that, from here which direction is our center? So he may say, northern direction. But he may be going in the southern direction now. I cannot ask him. Because the roads are not like, we are not aerially covering this distance. We are covering it in ground. So if you have to cover it in ground, then you have to take the path that has already been paved. Right? So it's like that. So we may not necessarily understand how these sections are actually talking about devotional service, but if you take them in toto, then we will understand. Devotees are not interested in speculative knowledge. Therefore, the Sankhya enunciated by Kapila Muni is meant to establish one firmly in devotional service. Like that. Okay. So that's the... That jnani, who he is, actually different acharyas give slightly different understanding to it. Vishnanta Veda Kuru says, oh, they are actually jnana mishra bhaktas, he says. But other acharyas say, oh, he is almost a pure devotee only. Because tesham jnani nitya yukta eka bhaktir vishishyate. So Krishna says. But Vishnanta Veda Kuru says, yeah, he is almost a pure devotee, but not a pure devotee. Because he says, priyohi jnanino atyartam aham sacha mama priya. That jnani is equal to me, he says. And then Vishnu Chakravarti quotes another verse, he says, where Krishna says, the devotee is greater than me. When he speaks to Uddhava, he says that, my dear Uddhava, you know what? The devotees are more dear to me than Mother Lakshmi, than Brahma, than Lord Shiva, than myself also. So he says that, so this jnani, he has a tinge of his prior practice of jnana. That is not allowing him to completely transcend to pure devotional service. But he is almost there. So therefore Krishna says, priyohi jnanino atyartam aham sacha mama priya. Like that. Correct. That is one understanding. He has knowledge of the Supreme Lord. Definitely. That is why he is worshipping the Supreme Lord. But his practice of devotional service is slightly tinged with his prior practice of jnana. So when that is there, then full-fledged manifestation of rasa, it acts as an obstacle to that. But he is very much practicing pure devotional service only, but it is tinged with slight jnana, that which has, yeah. It's almost like jnana mishra bhakti with very little tinge of jnana, like that. Yeah, yeah, he knows, but when he is practicing, his practice is slightly tense. So as I said, Ramanujacharya says, oh, he is a pure devotee only, when he says about this jnani, because he says, eka bhaktir vishishyate, he is practicing unalloyed devotional service. So that's why different acharyas take different stance. Some little more liberal stance, yeah, he is pure devotee only. Some take little bit, no, there is slight tinge, because here Krishna is talking about pradani bhuta bhakta, so therefore he is not yet shuddha bhakta. That's how Vishnu Chakravarti explains. That's of course slight difference. Means whose practice is predominantly bhakti, but tinged with little bit maybe karma or jnana or yoga, like that. Okay, yes. Yeah, Manavardhana. So one who studies Kapiladeva's teachings will start respecting devotees greatly, understanding their superior position. Because he is going to glorify devotional service only. You will know after 9 chapters. Even before that you will know. From this chapter only you will know glories of devotional service. Okay? Okay. We stop at what time? 10 o'clock? Prasadam is what time? Adi Bhagavan Prabhu is?
10.
We go until 10 o'clock, right? So, first only I will clarify the schedule. 8:15 to 10 o'clock, 8:30 to 10 o'clock, and then 12 to 2 and 3 to 5 would be the schedule for 11 to 1, and then okay. So because that after prasad there will be very short time, devotees, some after taking a major meal they'll need some time to nap, otherwise the second session will be drowsing session only. So at least some little extra gap, if it is there, then after a meal devotees can at least nap for a while and then come, otherwise it will be. Is it okay, bro? So can we have from 12 to 2 and then 3 to 5? Okay, so we will start today's discussion. Shaunaka uvacha kapilas tattva sankhyata bhagavan atma mayaya jata swayam ajas sakshat atma pragyapta yendranam. Bhagavan Kapila, the Supreme Lord Kapila, ajah, he is unborn. Tattva sankhyata, who enumerated the elements, atma mayaya jata swayam, he appeared by his own energy, or atma maya can also mean mercy, as in ajopisan navyayatma bhutanam ishwaropisan prakritim swama adishtaya sambhavami atma maya, as Krishna says. Jataha swayam also means that free will is total independence. We cannot say atma mayaya jataha swayam, I appeared. We all are like forced to appear by the law of karma. But Krishna can say, sambhavami, I appear. Like that. Atma pragyapte and ranam, to give spiritual knowledge to mankind. Like that. So, here Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, the word Atma Pragyaptaye indicates that the Lord descends for the benefit of the human race to give transcendental knowledge. Transcendental knowledge means bhakti only. When Krishna says Dharma Samsthapanartaya Sambhavami Yuge Yuge, so that Dharma which he comes to establish is actually bhakti only. As Kunti Maharani says, where? Bhavesmin klishyavananam avidya kama karma bihi shravana smarana arhani karishya iti kechana. She says that in this material world people are suffering due to avidya kama karma. Avidya bijam papam, which leads to prarabdha karma and aprarabdha karma. So people are suffering due to these things. So in order to relieve them from this, shravana smarana arhani karishyeti kechana, she has come, the Lord comes to establish the process of bhakti, which is characterized by shravanam, kirtanam, vishnu, smaranam, pada sevanam, and so on. So Krishna basically comes to establish the path of bhakti only. Ultimately, material necessities are quite sufficiently provided for in the Vedic knowledge, which offers a program for good living conditions and gradual elevation to the platform of goodness. Later, Prabhupada says, Shaunaka Muni also states here that Kapila, the incarnation of the Supreme Lord, took birth or appeared simply to appreciate and disseminate the transcendental knowledge. Simply to understand that one is not matter but spirit soul, aham brahmasmi, is not sufficient knowledge for understanding the self and its activities. One must be situated in the activities of Brahman. Knowledge of those activities is explained by the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. So that is devotional service. How does one who is thus spiritually situated, how does he act? Finally, Prabhupada mentions, such transcendental knowledge can be appreciated in human society, but not in animal society, as clearly indicated here by the word nrinam for human beings. Atma pragyaptaye nrinam. So this knowledge is not meant for animals. But one can induce animals also to come into this path by, you know, offering them some Mahaprasad, so that in their subsequent lives they may come to the path of devotional service. And some very elevated animals, like when Bharat Maharaj became a deer, even in the deer body he was performing devotional service. Special cases. Yeah, in Jharikhanda forest. Yeah. Could be, but here Prabhupada clearly mentions that Nrinam here. Bhutanam refers to living entities. Nrinam as in Nara. Yeah, as far as I have read, Nrinam refers to human beings only. Maybe in some context it could refer to living entities also. As, you know, one word generally has multiple meanings in Sanskrit. So in some cases it could also mean living entities. I don't know. But as far as I know, Nrinam, at least in this verse, refers to human beings, as Prabhupada is mentioning in the purport. Nahyasya varshmanappumsam varimna sarva yoginam vishratau shruta devasya bhuri tripyanti me savaha. Shruta devasya, because I delight in hearing. Nahi bhuri tripyanti me asavaha, my senses can never be fully satisfied. Asya vishrutau, with topics about the form of Kapila. Why you want to hear about Kapila? Varshmanaha pumsam. Varshmanaha means the foremost, or the greatest. Pumsam refers to the Purushavataras here. Or pumsam could refer to all human beings. He's the greatest. Because human beings are also called Purusha, and the Purushavataras are also called Purusha. So because the status of a Leela Avatara is superior to a Purusha Avatara, therefore he is telling that Varshmanaha Pumsam, he is greater than the Purusha Avatara. Varimna Sarva Yogina Mandi, and the great yogis such as Dattatreya, he is greater than the great yogis such as Dattatreya, like that. That's how Srila Vishnachara Thakur is explaining here. So, so here, there could be three reasons for dissatisfaction. Here he is telling that who is speaking here? Shaunakadi Rishis are speaking that we are not satisfied. So there could be three reasons for satisfaction. One is, the object itself has no inherent capacity to satisfy. It's very inferior object. That is one reason. Or the second thing is, it has all the capacity to satisfy, but I do not know how to use it for my satisfaction. Like someone may say that, may get the best jackfruit from Kerala, or maybe Ratnagiri or somewhere, and they may say, Prabhuji, this is the best jackfruit that you can ever get. This is from the best tree from Ratnagiri, so you please eat it. So if someone does not know how to eat jackfruit, first time he is seeing, if he directly starts biting that jackfruit without cutting it, and you know it's very complicated to, you know, you have to apply oil to your hands and then oil to the knife and cut it very carefully, remove it, and then you can relish it. So that jackfruit has the capacity to satisfy, but if the person does not know how to eat that jackfruit, then he will be miserable. The third reason is, it may be really wonderful, and therefore as much as you eat, your desire is not satiated because it's so wonderful. You want more, more, more. So here for the third reason, Shravanagada Rishis are telling that, you know, we are not satisfied. Not because discussions about Kapil Dev is incapable of giving bliss, and not that we do not know how to access those desires, but because it is so wonderful that we are not satisfied. You know, we want more and more and more like that. So here I will read some sections and you tell me what Prabhupada is talking about in the purport. Anyone who is associated with the Supreme Lord is accepted as a first class yogi. Varimna sarva yoginam. Devotees may not be as powerful as the Supreme Lord, but by constant association with the Lord, they become as good as the Lord himself. Sometimes the devotees act more powerfully than the Lord. Of course, that is the Lord's concession, Prabhupada says. Like we see in the case of Hanumanji in Arjuna. In the case of Hanumanji, you see, after reading Ramayana, someone seriously doubts, who is the real hero of this whole thing? Yeah. Contemporary example is giving. So, as Prabhupada said, okay, you know, if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted, he could have spread the mission all over the world. But the Supreme Lord, why didn't he do it? Surupa said, he left it. He left some service for us. So that we could take the credit. So like that. Later Prabhupada says, to hear from Krishna is the real pleasure of the senses. Therefore he is known as Govinda. For by his words, by his teachings, by his instruction, by everything connected with him, he enlivens the senses. What is Prabhupada talking about? Yeah, Tripyanti Mea Savaha. Whatever he instructs is from the transcendental platform, and his instructions being absolute are non-different from him. Hearing from Krishna or his expansion or plenary expansion like Kapila is very pleasing to the senses. Bhagavad Gita can be read or heard many times, but because it gives great pleasure, the more one reads Bhagavad Gita, the more he gets the appetite to read and understand it, and each time he gets new enlightenment. You can try it. All of you, most of you have completed your Bhakti Shastri, right? But you should still continue studying Bhagavad Gita. And it's actually very revealing. Like, we just started reading the southern section of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which talks about the components of rasa. Vibhav, Anubhav, Sattvika Bhav, Sanchari Bhav and Sthayi Bhav, like that. So, in Bhagavad Gita, these bhavas are explained. Where? In the 11th canto. Sorry, 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Baldev Vidya Bhushan talks about these rasas in one purport. Very, you know, in one small paragraph, he makes these concepts very clear. Arjuna, when he sees the Vishwarup, he is afflicted by Vismayaras. Two rasas. Because two kinds of universal form he shows to Arjuna. First he shows the regular universal form, the static one. So as soon as he sees that, he gets afflicted by Vismayaras or Adbhutaras. And later when he shows the Kalarup, he becomes afflicted by Bibhatsaras. He becomes very fearful. So in that one purport, we have read Bhagavad Gita at least few times. But after reading this, incidentally we were parallelly reading Bhagavad Gita also, and we were in the 11th chapter. So when we read this one purport, you are wondering, oh, we never knew that this purport was there. It was so clearly explained, the whole thing, that one purport, and that too, who would expect that rasa would be described in the, of all the chapters, the 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Vishwarupa Darshan, like that. That is the nature of the transcendental message. Similarly, we find the transcendental happiness in Srimad Bhagavatam. The more we hear and chant the glories of the Lord, the more we become happy. Especially in the association of devotees. As we discussed the other day. Parasparanu katanam pavanam bhagavat yashah mitoratir mitastushtir nirvrita mita atmanah. It generates that camaraderie and friendship. Like we all would have probably just met each other only during yatras and maybe not even recognized each other. But because at least few times a year we are coming together and sitting together and discussing pure Krishna's glories together. That's why, you know, there exists a very good relationship. You know, we are, I am so excited to meet you all, and same way some few devotees expressed, like yesterday Satyamurthy Prabhu was sharing that, oh Prabhuji, we were waiting for your visit, like that.
You,
I hope so, like that. So definitely we can understand that when devotees come together to share Krishna's glories, definitely it automatically develops a very sweet relationship between devotees themselves, actually. Like, Jeevi is a very intense place when it comes to physical services, and so many people are involved in construction and agriculture and so many other things, landscaping and what not, everything. So it becomes quite intense. So those devotees with whom, who all we come together every day for our afternoon discussions or evening discussions, when I have to have some service dealings with them, it is very cool and pleasant. I have to tell them, oh Sarvatmari Prabhu, can you please do it? It's done. Ah, okay. But those devotees with whom we don't get together regularly for discussing Krishna Katha, with them I have to really plan and how I should approach, how I should ask. It's little gives some anxiety, because he should not be disturbed, because they are also very intensely involved in services. So temper is very short, so it's very. But with those with whom you are every day sitting together and discussing Bhagavatam, it's very easy. You don't have to think at all. You just have to tell, Prabhu, can you please do it, and it's done. So it really, actually, when you can see it happening. Okay. Yad yad vidatte Bhagavan swachandatmatma mayaya tani me shraddha dhanasya kirtanyanyanu kirtaya. So therefore, may anukirtaya, please describe to me shraddha dhanasya. Because in the previous verse he said, we are not satisfied. But that lack of satisfaction is not due to the subject matter not having the potency, but because we are very eager and we have Shraddha in this Katha that you are going to speak. Full of faith. Please describe to me I am filled with faith of the activities of the Lord. And what is the nature of these activities? Kirtanyani. These activities are actually worthy of glorification. Yad yad vidatte swachandatma Bhagavan, which the independent Lord performs, Atma Maya, by His internal energy.
So here Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, the word Anukirtaya is very significant. Anukirtaya means to follow the description and not to create a concocted mental description, but to follow. So here in this Kapiladeva's teachings only, later Kapiladeva would say that, oh, this path that I am giving you, I had already given it to the eager rishis before. So Prabhupada writes there in that purport, if there is someone who can create his own new path of spirituality, it is the Supreme Lord. So if Kapiladeva says that I am giving a brand new path to you which I have never given before to anyone, still we can accept it, because he is qualified, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Prabhupada says, but even that Supreme Personality of Godhead do not create a new path. They give the path that has already been mentioned in the Vedic scriptures. As Krishna himself says, Rishabir Bahuda Gitam Chandobir Vividai Pratak Brahma Sutra Padaischeva Hetu Madbir Vinishchitaihi. Which chapter? No? 13th chapter. After speaking about Kshetra and Kshetragya, he says that you want more details about this, you know, these are the various references. Rishabir Bahuda Gitam in the various writings of the Rishis, Chandobir in the Vedas, and in the Brahma Sutra, these things are described in more detail. So if you want more details, you can refer to these. So basically, even when Krishna wants to give something, he does not create a new path. He just tries to instill faith in the already given paths. So that's what he is telling, that not to create a mental, concocted mental description, but to follow. Shaunaka Rishi requested Suta Goswami to describe what he had actually heard from his spiritual master Shukadeva Goswami about the transcendental pastimes of the Lord manifested by his internal energy. So what he heard from Shukadeva Goswami, that you speak. Anukirtaya. That is the meaning. Yeah, Buddhism, Mayavad, that is why they are not supposed to be followed. Lord is giving. So how do you know that it is the Lord who is giving? So if you say that I accept Buddha as the incarnation based on the scriptures, then you have to accept his purpose of descent also based on the scriptures. Correct or not? So the same scriptures say, what is the purpose of descent of Buddha also? Correct? The same scriptures say that the philosophy that he gives is not an, it's just a tatkal philosophy. It's not parodharma. So if you accept Buddha as the incarnation of the Lord based on scriptures, then you have to accept the purpose of his descent also based on the scriptures. Therefore we don't accept, because he first rejects the scriptures. That's what he does first. Like that. I have not read his biography, so I don't know. Maybe it does, I don't know. Even if it is there, you get to hear it from the other Buddhists only. They might have their own interpretation of it. So I don't know. So same thing, Suta Goswami tells Shaunakadi Rishis. Here Shaunaka is asking Suta Goswami that Anukirtaya, what you have heard, that only you speak. Not that they don't have trust, they know it, but still, as a matter of etiquette, they say. But Suta Goswami has already given them that assurance, the first canto only. Tatra kirtayato vipra viprasher bhuri tejasah aham cha adhyagamam tatra nivishtas tadanugrahat soham vah shravayishyami yatadidam yatamati. O learned brahmanas, when Shukadeva Goswami recited Bhagavatam there, I heard him with rapt attention. Aham cha tatra nivishtah tat anugrahat, and thus by his mercy aham cha bhuri tejasah adyagamam. I learned this Bhagavatam from Shukadeva Goswami by his mercy. Saha aham vah shravasyam. Exactly what I heard, I am going to give, tell it to you. Yatadhitam yatamati. As far as I have heard and as far as what I have realized. So what I have realized, that's what I am going to share it with you. Nothing more than that. Okay. Srila Prabhupada, in the purport of this, he writes, one has to learn Bhagavatam from the representative of Shukadeva Goswami and no one else, if one at all wants to see Krishna in the pages. That is the process and there is no alternative. Suta Goswami is a bona fide representative of Shukadeva Goswami because he wants to present the message which he received from the great learned Brahmana. So there is no scope for presenting our own speculation. They have written everything. They have given everything. So just we have to just present as it is. Simple hearing is not all. One must realize the text with proper attention. Nivishta. Nivishtaha. The word Nivishta means that Suta Goswami drank the juice of Bhagavatam through his ears. That is the real process of receiving Bhagavatam. One should hear with rapt attention from the real person and then he can at once realize the presence of Lord Krishna in every page. The secret of knowing Bhagavatam is mentioned here. No one can give rapt attention who is not pure in mind. No one can be pure in mind who is not pure in action. No one can be pure in action who is not pure in eating, sleeping, fearing and mating. Basically lifestyle. One whose lifestyle is not pure cannot act purely. One who cannot act purely cannot be pure in mind. And one who is not pure in mind cannot hear with rapt attention. He will be distracted. But somehow or other, if someone hears with rapt attention from the right person, at the very beginning, one can assuredly see Lord Shri Krishna in person in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. Like that Srila Prabhupada gives us assurance. So ultimately, you have to have that absorption and rapt attention. Just few days back, this guy Gaurang Prabhu was giving a brahmachari class at GV. And he was commenting, he was sharing Chaitanya Charitamrita. And in one of the points that he was making about absorption, how important is absorption for a brahmachari? So he was mentioning, he was quoting this verse, Vyavasayatmika buddhi ekeha kurunandana. So he was telling, what is the meaning of Vyavasaya? Vyavasaya means what? Business. Yeah, Vyavasaya means business, that is one understanding. So he says, Vyavasaya Atma, Vyavasayatmika buddhi means, One's intelligence should have, he says, for a spiritualist who is in the business of the soul. We are in the vyavasaya of Atma. Our business is to cleanse our soul and engage the soul in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So one who is in that business, he should have business-like professionalism, he said. That is Vyavasayatmika Buddhi. One's intelligence should have a business-like professionalism. Yes, what does it mean? A businessman is very much concerned about maximizing profits and minimizing loss. So, he sees that, oh, where is money coming from? He will identify it, you know, keep a very careful note of it and tries to maximize it. And where is money going away? He will note it with great care and try to minimize it. So similarly, one who is on the business of the soul, on the path of bhakti, he must be very careful to note where is my attention getting drained? What is pushing me towards distraction from my goal? He says, one should identify it very scrutinizingly and try to minimize it. and what is helping me get absorbed, he should identify it very scrutinizingly and try to maximize it. He says, if one does, if a spiritualist does not have this kind of, or he was telling, if the brahmachari does not have this kind of professionalism in his approach, and if he is very careless, then he says, Mahadevi will steal his kopin. So he was telling that, you know, be very careful. This is the age of, as he was quoting Maharaj, this is the age of mass distraction. You know, all this WhatsApp and Facebook and all these things, you know, are just, he says, in spiritual life, distraction means destruction. So be very careful, he was telling that, you know, keep a close note of what you are doing every day, every minute, and whether it is taking you closer to your goal or away from your goal. So like that he was very presenting this point. Like that. Okay. So, now Suta Goswami continues. Suta uvacha dvaipayana sakastvevam maitreyo bhagavams tata prahedam viduram prita anvikshikyam prachoditaha. Maitreyo Bhagavan, Maitreya, Dvaipayana Saka, who was a friend of Vyasadev, actually he was a classmate of Vyasadev. Both of them studied together under, what is it? Was it Parashar Muni or? Yeah, Parashar Muni, right? Yeah, Parashar Muni was the disciple of Brihaspati, correct. Yeah, Maitreya, the friend of Vyasa, Prachoditaha Preeta. He was very pleased to hear these questions from Shaunaka. See, actually this is Shaunaka asking Suta Goswami. But when Shaunaka asking Suta Goswami, but Suta's reply is what? Maitreya was very pleased when he heard these questions from Vidura. This is very interesting, you see. Actually, Vidura wanted to hear about the lineage of Swayambhu Manu. So actually he was describing about the lineage of Swayambhu Manu. But in describing, he speaks about Swayambhu Manu had 5 children, 3 daughters and 2 sons, Akuti, Devahuti and Prasuti, and Uttanapad and Priyavrat Maharaj. So ideally, with the 24th chapter, the lineage of Devahuti is over. So he must have started describing from the 4th canto, 1st chapter. Prasuti and Akuti, you know how Akuti marries Ruchi and Prasuti marries Daksha, and their lineage he must have described. But he does not do that. Because Shaunakadi Rishis, they are asking about the conversation that happened between, because after this he has spoken about Devahuti, so Kapila and Devahuti. So what does Suta Goswami say? Oh, Maitreya was very pleased when Vidura similarly questioned. Which means Shaunakadi Rishis did not know a priori or beforehand that actually Vidura would have asked this question about the conversation between Kapila and Devahuti. Or if Parikshit Maharaj would have asked about the conversation between Kapila and Devahuti. They didn't know. But they asked this question. So it seems like when there is a bona fide speaker and a bona fide hearer, similar questions come up during the course of discussion. Throughout Bhagavatam, if you are careful enough to note, question will be asked by someone, the answer will be given by, you know, like in this case. Shaunaka asked to Suta Goswami, and Suta Goswami says, oh, Maitreya was very happy to hear this question from Vidura. Where did Vidura hear? And it's most likely that Parikshit Maharaj would have asked the same question to Shukadeva Goswami. And actually this is not very difficult to understand. I can share my experience. There are certain sections, like of course like Kapiladeva's section and second canto is what officially when Radhishyam Prabhu wanted to institute this, at least the first six cantos, you know, wherever devotees are there whom he has trained, you know, at least these first six cantos they have to systematically go through. So initially only he divided the chapters between the four of us, Radhishyam Prabhu himself, Radhika Valla Prabhu, Gauranga Darshan Prabhu and myself. So he allotted the second canto and teachings of Lord Kapila to me, and some sections for Radhika Valla Prabhu, some sections for Gauranga Darshan Prabhu, and the rest for Radhishyam Prabhu, like that he. So therefore it happened that 5, 6, 7 times, you know, I was repeating the same chapters. And also, sir, there are some other books like Bhaktirasama Sindhu which I have taught many times over. Some other Kamadri Kadamini and things like that. So those chapters I know, if there is a good group of audience, like we have in Dharwad, you know, you make a particular point and you pause for a second, you know, 2-3 hands will be up and you exactly know what question they are going to ask. I can guess. Like there are some sections which I purposefully don't elaborate on certain points because I know it will come in the form of questions. And anything that you, that comes in the form of questions and, you know, when answered, it has a more great impact. In, you know, it gets assimilated very easily. So purposefully some of the sections I very briefly mention and move ahead, and immediately people will raise their hands and I know what they are going to ask. So if this is the case with you know, even so as the Kali Yuga sadhakas, then you can say that, you know, in those ages, so it is not surprising in one sense that you know, it is the question asked by Shaunakadi Rishi Suta Goswami, and Suta Goswami says, oh, because actually this is a detour. This conversation between Kapiladeva and Devahuti is a detour. This does not come in the genealogical line. So, but still, they naturally got this question, Shaunakadi Rishis, and no wonder. Vidura also had the same question to Maitreya. Like the same thing, if you remember in the 10th chapter of 2nd canto. So, Shavanaka, when he says that, oh, now I will discuss about Padma Kalpa, he says. And Shavanakadi Rishi tells Sutta Goswami, oh, no. We will hear about the Padma Kalpa later. First, you please speak about the conversation between Shukadeva Goswami, between Vidura and Maitreya, Vidura Maitreya Samvad. Then Sutta Goswami says, oh, wonderful, actually same question was asked by Parikshit Maharaj to Shukadeva Goswami at the same point, and then he actually speaks. So it seems, so the process is very scientific actually. So when it is properly discussed, and Prabhupada, that's what he is going to speak in this in the purport also. So Prabhupada says, questions and answers are very satisfactorily dealt with when the inquirer is bona fide and the speaker is also authorized. And later Prabhupada says, Maitreya was very pleased with the inquiries of Vidura because they were the inquiries of a bona fide advanced devotee. Thus Maitreya was encouraged to answer. When there are discourses on transcendental topics between devotees of equal mentality, the questions and answers are very fruitful and encouraging. This is what Prabhupada writes. Equal mentality. As we saw in one of our previous discussions, as he says that Sajatiya Ashaye Snigde Sadhusanga Svatovare. One of the five potent limbs is not just Sadhusanga. He clarifies what kind of Sadhusanga is actually very beneficial in helping one progress in devotional service. He says, Sajatiya Ashaye, there must be like minded. Snigde. Not only just like-minded, there must be sneha sambandha, affectionate relationship between the two. But one may be like-minded and affectionate relationship may be there, but that may be in non-devotional activities. In watching cricket together. So, therefore he clarifies further by telling sadhu sangha. And that sadhu sangha must be swato vare. Swato vare means better than oneself or mutually elevating. You come together, spend time together, after 1 hour, both of you feel more inspired in devotional service. That must be the quality of association that one has. You come together and at the end of it, like just recently, when I was teaching in BVVP Pune, so one devotee, he was like very rare. He was in medical college and he was gold medalist, BJ Medical College, which is like one of the best medical colleges in Maharashtra. He was a gold medalist in BJ Medical College. While doing his MBBS, he used to take 4 days off and come to attend BVVP there. Every month. Never missed a single class. And he was the only person, even though there were like hundreds of others who were attending, hundreds of brahmacharis attending, he was the only person who on time, the same day, completed all the exams. So same day, no carryover. Because 4 days he dedicated completely to BVVP. He would come in the morning chapter, afternoon, before the next BVVP class, he would write and finish the exam. And then afternoon, he will sit, next afternoon session, evening session when it gets over, he will stay for the night, complete that day's chapter. And so now he had completed his MBBS and now he got a PG seat. So he was just before going to his PG, so he came to GUA to meet. So he came, we sat together and we were discussing for hours, you know, like 4-5 hours we were just sitting in Prabhupada's room in GV and we were discussing. So at the end of, he was sharing what he remembered from the VVP classes. I said, I also don't remember, you know, so many things. He was like extempore, just speaking one after another, Prabhuji, I like this point, I like this point, I like... He said, my God, how do you remember all these things? So, at the end of 5 hours, you know, he felt very grateful, I felt all the more grateful, you know. It was very elevating for me actually. I was wondering, who has more taste for Bhagavatam? He is fit to be sitting here and speaking Bhagavatam. Yes, you know, somehow I have an inclination for teaching, so I am teaching. But it seemed like he had much more taste for Bhagavatam than me. But he did not feel like that. He felt genuinely grateful actually. So, you know, I really felt, you know, oh, this is actually sajatiya ashe. Sadhu sangha swato vare. Mutually elevating. You know, you come together, at the end of it, you feel very inspired. And the other person also feels very inspired. He doesn't feel, oh, I have inspired him. So he feels, both of us felt very inspired like that. So actually it is possible in devotional service. When there is, when people actually develop a culture of coming together and discussing about not one's own accomplishments but about the glories of the Supreme Lord, naturally and genuinely a good relationship develops. And then people start looking forward to each other's association like that. So we'll pause here. And before we end, one small point I wanted to just mention, that here Suta Goswami is addressing Maitreya as Bhagavan. Generally we say Bhagavan means what? Aishwaryasya samagrasya viryasya yashashriya jnana vairagyayor chaiva Shannam Bhaga Iti Ingana. So he says. So this is from which? What is the source? Vishnu Puran. Parashar Muni's quotation. The same Vishnu Puran also has another quotation which indicates
under what circumstances a human being can be called as Bhagavan. Not so popular quotation, but it is quoted by, I think, Baldev Vidya Bhushan in one of the Vidya commentary to one of the Bhagavad Gita verses.
The position of Bhagavan is
not. No. So he says, Utpattim pralayam chaiva bhutanam agatim gatim vetti vidyama vidyamcha savacho bhagavaniti. So he says, Bhagavan refers to a person who knows about the creation and destruction of the universe, the appearance and disappearance of the living entities, knowledge and ignorance. Basically, one who knows the nature of or the subject matters of Bhagavatam, he can also be addressed as Bhagavan. So he is telling here, so it's a very scientific thing, it's not random. One who in his heart can also be addressed as Bhagavan. Yeah, that's another understanding.
Not
impersonal. Not impersonal. Yeah. So, Prabhupada talks about equal mentality. When there is discussion of discourses on transcendental topics between devotees of equal mentality, the questions and answers are very fruitful and encouraging to both. Like when Maitreya and Vidura came together, initially Vidura told Maitreya, Janasya Krishna Vimukasya Daivat Adharma Shilasya Sudukkitasya Anugrahaye Hacharanti Nunam Bhutani Bhavyani Janardanasya. He says, my dear Maitreya, you roam around all the places for the sole purpose of giving mercy to others. Adharma Shilasya, those who are engaged in sinful activities, as an act of compassion to save those people, you travel around to give them this transcendental knowledge. And the same thing, few verses later, when Maitreya addresses Vidura, he says, Sadhu Prishtam Tvaya Sadho Lokan Sadhu Anugrhanata Kirtim Vitanvata Loke Atmano Adhokshadatmana. He says, O Sadho, O noble Vidura, Adhokshaja Atmanaha, your mind is absorbed in Adhokshaja, Supreme Lord. Lokan Sadhu Anugrinata. He says that in order to bestow mercy or compassion upon the people, Sadhu Prishtam Toya, you have asked such wonderful questions. So basically, both had the same. Maitreya appreciated Vidura because his asking questions were out of compassion for other living entities, and Vidura's appreciation of Maitreya was because he was traveling around for the sole purpose of bestowing compassion upon all living entities. So this is Sajatiya Ashaya. So in Sajatiya Ashaya, one could be a speaker, one could be a hearer. But if both have the same goal of elevating each other and oneself through discussing Krishna Katha, then it is Sajatiya Ashaya association. So, therefore, as Prabhupada writes, such discussions between devotees of, when the discussions on the transcendental topics between devotees of equal mentality, the questions and answers are very fruitful and encouraging. Vasudeva Katha Prashna Purusham Strin Punatihi Vaktaram Pritchakam Shrotrim Statpada Salilam Yata. So he says that three kinds of people get benefited. Vaktaram, Pritchakam, Shrotrim. So the speaker, the questioner and hearer. And Vishnu Acharya Thakur mentions in the order in which it is mentioned. Which means it is most beneficial for the speaker. Then it is beneficial for the questioner. And it is also beneficial for the hearer, Shrotrims. So of course, when there is a more elevated speaker, you don't say that I want most benefit, so I will speak. So you request and you hear. But when you get an opportunity to speak, you speak. For our own, when devotees say for my own purification, it is true. Because the speaker gets maximum purified. More than the inquirer and the hearer. So it is not just a sentimental thing, it's actually a fact. So when I heard this, I felt really good. So actually it is, you know, you get an opportunity to speak, you get the right perspective. It's an opportunity to actually progress in devotional service. So we will pause here and then we will convene back at we are 10:10 now, so or according to this clock it is 10:05. So we'll convene back at 12:05 and we'll go on till 2:00 and then again convene back at 3:00 and go on till 5. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srimad Bhagavatam ki.